Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Inyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
I'm excited. We're going to talk to the audience tonight, Fred, about the Bill Nye, Ken Ham debate on creation.
Oh, that's great. So maybe some of the 5 million that watched that debate or heard it is going to call in.
Yeah, that will be cool. And I just like to let the audience know that, Fred, you are on the board of the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. And I've been involved with the group for many years, over a decade. One of the organizers, Bill Browning, has created both a transcript of the entire debate.
Yeah, that was very useful.
Wow. And a scorecard and debate points, point by point in a spreadsheet. So we're going to ask Bill Browning if he'd give us permission to post this on Real Science Radio.
Okay.
Because it's a valuable
tool. Very, very valuable.
Yeah. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That happens to be my last name. 1-800-836-9278. Or you can call 303-463-7789 to get in the back door if you're in Colorado. Does it connect quicker? Not much. Where do you want to go first, Fred?
We have a caller from Missouri.
Missouri. Larry, welcome to Real Science Radio, Larry.
Hello, yes, I'd like the Supreme Pizza. Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my phone call and having me on the show.
Sure thing.
I want to thank you for the last three shows where you addressed the topics one by one that Ken Ham couldn't address. Those were really good shows. I really enjoyed those.
Well, that is very kind of you. My favorite of all the rebuttals we did was the sexual reproduction, where Bill Nye went on and on claiming that as evidence for evolution. And leading evolutionists, including Richard Dawkins, says it's a confounding mystery. They have no idea why it would happen or how it happened.
It's a huge problem for evolution. He spent a lot of time on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So, Larry.
Yeah, and I was unaware of that fact, too, you know, and you guys really shed light on that for me. So, again, I thank you for that. And with that, you know, that topic, he was curious how he would mention, instead of saying reproductive cycle, he would say having sex with.
Oh, yeah.
They were having, you know, they're having sex. You know, trying to bring some humor into it, but what did for me is it kind of cued some lack of morality.
Well,
that's kind of par for the course in some of the folks that you deal with.
Yeah, I mean, humor, you know, great. They both had jokes and the audience laughed, but he kept giggling. He kept talking about fish having sex, and he's giggling. And then he talked about trees.
Juvenile.
Yeah, trees being asexual, or actually, most trees are sexual. Most living organisms reproduce sexually, and he's giggling. So it's juvenile, but I think you're right, Larry. It's a bit more than that.
The other tactic that he did that I saw right off the bat, now you had Ken Ham on previous to the debate, and Ken had stressed how he only had 30 minutes, or however long, I think it was 30, for the opening statement, and how he needed to use every minute to his advantage. And when Bill started talking, I was surprised. He went on for 5 minutes about the history of the bow tie.
Oh, yeah.
Which means he's stalling.
That's a good point.
Well, hey, Larry.
So much information.
Even that.
Yeah.
I was so thrilled that the audience did not laugh at the punchline.
Oh, that's right. He didn't. Yeah, that's right.
Because that was supposed to be a sexual joke. Yeah. Because why is this man asking my grandfather to lay down on his bed in his hotel room? And so he's used to getting a laugh out of that. But this audience has Christian sensibilities. You don't joke about a woman's body. It's like when you reject the spirit of God within you, then you're an animal. And so liberals laugh about defecation, sexual reproduction, genitals. That's like 90% of network comedy is bathroom humor.
And he uses those kind of tactics on his show. He uses humor, and that's what kind of got him so popular with different people and age groups and whatnot. Now, the third thing he did, I already talked about the lack of morality in that statement, but the third thing he did was he just kept repeating these lies with the Bible being translated. You guys covered that on the show. whenever Ken Ham would bring up something, he would just roll right over it. And the next statement, he wouldn't even acknowledge anything. He wasn't giving Ken any acknowledgement of any kind of victory whatsoever in that debate. And again, that's kind of juvenile. You know, you guys shedded light on the false information that he was putting up as factual, like the reproductive cycle. Well, that did kind of anger me. You know,
How about when he said that, and we have pointed it out, but the Bible has been translated for 3,000 years. If you have it translated for 3,000 years, it won't be anything like it was originally.
That's right.
Yeah. So the telephone, so you can tell your secret to the next guy, and he to the next guy. And, come on.
And I think, you know, he kind of had his talking points, and if you raise these arguments, he's not going to know how to refute them. You know, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, powerful argument against what he was presenting.
So powerful.
Now, in my debating with the other people that had watched the debate that are pro-evolution, they bought that hook, line, and sinker, you know, because that's their golden boy.
So you know what? You know, I don't like it when there's a defense attorney on, say, Fox News talking about a murderer, and they say, well, he should have done this. He shouldn't talk. Like they're trying to advise him on how to get away with the murder.
Yeah, get around it.
I hate that.
Yep.
And so in this case,
good point.
I don't really want to say, well, Bill Nye should have done this to prove his point, because that only sends him closer to hell. But if he wants to encourage the atheists to continue to hate God, there's no reason for him to tell the truth or address the actual issues. He can lie all he wants to, because his constituency will approve of his lies. And if they find out that he lied, they will like him all the more and trust him all the more.
Misery loves company.
Good point.
Yeah.
And one last thing, it kind of got away from the debate being about creation and evolution. And it got to, is Ken Ham's point valid? And I think he proved that in leaps and bounds. So we won that debate just on that format alone. Is this valid? Does Ken Ham have a leg to stand on? And he proved it.
Do you
with
mean
every topic,
is
the debate in that regard?
Larry, do you mean this? Is creationism valid as a model for today? So Ken Ham showed these working, published, credentialed scientists, leaders in their fields, who are young earth creationists. And so he
have like the inventor of the MRI.
Yeah,
I'm glad Raymond, I learned that information. I can use that.
Yeah.
To people arguing about science not being on the side of God, you know, and they're just wrong.
Yes. And so the point being that none of these disciplines require a belief in Darwinism to be a successful engineer.
And the whole thing about the young people need to learn evolution so we can be a productive society.
Well, you know, during
where are they getting that? That's a fear tactic. That's a fear tactic right there. So,
you know, during elections, they always have this fact checking they do on the nightly news.
Yeah.
It'd have been great to do an honest fact checking on the debate. And then you check the facts that Bill Nye brought up and you check the facts that Ken Ham brought up. It would be a slam dunk. They would all be, you know, this is true. And you do a fact check on what Bill Nye said, and 90% of what he said isn't true.
Well, and Bill Browning has done that. That's why I'm hoping he'll give us permission to post this, Fred. Great work on his part at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
I'll twist his arm.
And I think a lot of our analysis shows did a lot of that fact-checking. Larry, one more thought about the ancient documents when Ken Ham would make a point and Bill Nye would say, well, the Bible's been translated for 3,000 years. And so Fred just pointed out the Dead Sea Scrolls.
He didn't
even
use the word Bible. He said ancient text.
Ancient text.
The word Bible wouldn't come out of his mouth.
Wow.
Oh, that's interesting.
What a good observation. And he also kept saying this is Ken Ham's view, and it's actually the Bible's view.
And Ken Ham's book.
Right, Ken Ham's book. And at one point, I think he said, Ken Ham won't be able to save you. I think he even said that. And when he said that, I realized that this was very intentional on his part. He was trying to distract the audience from the point that this is biblical Christianity, and this is by the authority of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to pretend that it was about Ken Ham. So that was all intentional.
I thought it was really good that Ken would always say, well, Bill, there is a book.
Yeah. I did like that.
Ken was able to use a little bit of humor.
I know that there are some folks, some of our listeners didn't like that.
Oh,
And some people thought, well, a lot of creationists who are active wanted a lot more science from Ken Ham.
And I did too.
Yeah.
You know, and,
and that's normal, especially if you're well versed on the topic. You know,
right.
So much you're chomping at the bit for him to say. But again, he only had so much time to address certain points.
And most of the audience, they're not activist creationists. They're not scientists or engineers. So
yeah.
To a large part, he was appealing to the intended audience. So that was good. But yeah, still, we should have had less.
I understand why he just didn't grab right for those pictures of that soft tissue and just go right.
Oh, yeah. We definitely wanted to see that.
We listed on our website the 10 science evidences that were left out that should have been used.
I love that part of the website that I can use that. The website, as I'm talking to my friends, you know, other creationists and evolutionists, and use the website as a good source.
Well, you know, Bob does all the work on keeping that up to date, and it's a resource for me.
Oh,
you know, friend. And I'm on the radio show. I just used it today in a debate.
You're a software engineer and creation speaker.
That's right.
And the host of Evolution Fairy Tale.
And so I'm debating, and I looked up something on that 30% difference between the chimp and human genome.
Yeah, Y chromosome. Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's right. The Y chromosome.
I was on a social site, and I was arguing after the debate, and I hit those guys. I used something off that I got from the site. It was all the dinosaur soft tissue, that whole big spreadsheet where they could just click on it. All those links. I put that up on there.
Wow.
Said, okay, here's that.
Hey, Larry, thanks for doing that. And this is self-serving, so take it for what it's worth. But there are so many great websites. CreationScience.com is my favorite.
Absolutely.
Then Walt Brown. Then Creation.com, Jonathan Sarfati and the crew. And Answers in Genesis and Creation Research. Fred, you're the webmaster of CreationResearch.org. Great job. Here's what we try to do with RealScienceRadio.com. We try to make it so that if they're in a debate on Facebook or with a coworker or a friend and they need the best argument on this certain topic, if they come to realscienceradio.com and search for that topic, they're likely to get the latest and the best argument as concisely as we can present it. And if
with
we go
the references to the scientific journals,
with
which is many very handy.
References.
That's exactly what I did.
And if you go to
it, and I was able to use it.
If you go to another site, they have more material than we do, and greater material than we do, and more well documented, but you might have to read 14 articles to get all the argument on carbon-14.
And when you're in those kind of debates, you know, they'll bring up something you need to come back and rebuttal fairly quick. So just the condensity of the information is very nice.
Yeah. So, hey, Larry, thank you so much. What a neat and encouraging call from Missouri.
From Missouri. All thanks,
right.
Larry.
I still want that pizza, by the way.
Right. It's like we got another caller.
All right. Larry, Mo, and Curly.
Oh, Curly. Curly's calling in?
No. So our next caller.
From Wisconsin, Thomas, you're on the air with Bob Inyard and Fred Williams.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Bob. Bob, I reread your Does God Exist online here the other day. Awesome.
Oh, the debate with Zaketh the Atheist.
Isn't that the guy that never finished?
Yeah.
That's what I recall, right?
Was it a TKO?
Oh, TKO? Yeah.
Or a KO?
Well, kind of maybe both.
Yeah.
Well, there were so many body punches, I just don't think he could breathe.
Hey, Thomas, thank you. Zaketh is a psychologist, and he was the resident atheist at theologyonline.org. It was quite a debate. Thank you for mentioning that. It was really, really fun. A written debate, moderated.
Oh, it's well worth reading. Some of the arguments that you made were just profound in that science can actually show us the limits of nature and energy and matter.
Wow. Very exciting. Thank you. So, Thomas, what else is on your mind?
You guys' analysis of the Nye-Ham debate was awesome.
Thank you.
There's one thing, though, that I thought that it could have been a little different.
Yeah.
The Ken Ham and Bill Nye debate. I was expecting Ken just to do such a great job because I saw him versus Hugh Ross. Every time Hugh tried to pull something that was extra biblical and put it into the Bible, Ken just knew his stuff. I mean, he was there.
Yes. Ross is an old earth creationist, progressive creationist. He's the head of the group Reasons to Believe. And so Ken Ham in that debate, and he was excellent, but he's in his element because he is really more of a Christian evangelist and apologist than he is a scientist. And so when the debate is specifically on science, so what you're saying, Thomas, is you were a bit unhappy with the science aspect of the debate?
Yeah, I expected that Ken listens to your show, and so he would have so much ammunition that he would just, you know, be able to, his head would just explode.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it were up to me, if there was going to be a big debate, and Fred, I don't know who you'd pick to debate Bill Nye, but I would pick Jonathan Sarfati.
Oh, that'd be a great pick.
right, from CMI Creation Ministries.
He would come to mind right away, Russ Humphreys. Bob Inyart would come to mind.
Well, no, but Sarfati, he's also from Australia.
Yep.
So he's got the accent. He's on his game. He has done hundreds of presentations with Q&As. And when he does a Q&A, when the atheist in the crowd asks the question, he has a slide up answering the question while the guy is still asking the question.
That's right.
And he's just, his answers are brilliant, concise, powerful. So he's on his game. Walt Brown is my favorite scientist. But, you know, and Walt Brown is my favorite scientist. And he used to do seminars with 500 people, 1,000 people, and he did hundreds of seminars. But Walt hasn't done seminars, I don't know, in 20 years or so.
Yeah, yeah. And debating is a skill. You can present an argument, but if you're in a debate and an exchange, and you're right, Sarfati is so quick to just get a slide up while the guy's talking.
And the chess master from New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. I was there when he played like five guys blindfolded backwards and beat all of them. Like three different sets of guys, like 15 over the course of the conference.
Was he an international grandmaster? I forget.
Yes. Yep.
He's just brilliant. So, all right, Thomas, I think those are fair points. Anything else?
Yeah, well, Ken's great point was how now I thought about, wow, the joy of discovering evolution and how we all, it's all meaningless. What joy was that?
What joy?
Yeah.
What joy is there in that it's meaningless?
And also the question that Ham asked is, what has evolution ever produced as far as an invention goes? I mean, we've been asking that question before on our show. He asked it, I think, a couple of times. Bill Nye never tackled that. And evolutionists tend to stay away from that because they don't have anything useful that a belief in evolution has produced science-wise.
Fred, the Denver Atheist Group had a conference half a year ago. I don't know if you recall, I went to that. Spent 7 hours on a Saturday with 200 atheists.
Wow.
And it was a kick, you know. But they spent the whole day showing clips from Christian videos and talking about Christian Sunday school curriculum, that kind of thing, to kids, and saying how cruel it is of Christians to tell kids that there's a hell. That was the whole thing.
Wow.
Pretty much. So a meteorologist from CU up in Boulder, actually from NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Group, was there as a speaker on global warming. And during a break, she came up to me and she said, okay, you're a Christian, you're a creationist. How would you answer this argument that it's wrong to tell kids that there's a hell? I said, well, first of all, when we talk to kids, the vast majority of time we're telling them about heaven and that God loves you and you could live with him forever. Or it's true, you don't have to. You could live without him, but it's up to you. What the atheists tell kids is when you die, that's it. Your mother died, that's it. It's oblivion.
It's over.
You die, it's darkness, it's nothingness, it's over. That is despair.
Absolutely.
You guys are the ones who are practically guilty of emotional abuse of children by giving them that kind of despair. Thomas, thank you. Any last point? We got to rush. We got to get to another caller.
Okay, well, the only thing I could think of is that Ken's answer, he was asked, what if anything would ever change your mind about evolution? And his answer, I thought, was just bad. He just said, well, I'm a Christian. So what evidence you would accept?
So,
and that was kind of the same answer he gave to another question was, what if science proved that the Earth was 6,000 years or older? Would you still believe in the Bible and Jesus?
Well,
and
hey, Thomas,
he didn't really give an answer to that.
Those questions remind me of asking, is Christianity falsifiable? The Bible doesn't shy away from that. A lot of Christians, I think faith is too weak to just handle that. But the Bible says if Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, our faith is in vain.
And our faith is the evidence of things not seen.
The evidence.
Yes.
So that the Bible says, hey, you can falsify Christianity. If you can show that Jesus did not rise from the dead, then our whole message is wrong. We're wrong. God, for example, could tell us, hey, you guys are misinterpreting certain things. But the Bible is abundantly clear on these issues. There are many things I doubt as a Christian, many things, but there are many things I don't doubt. Fred, there's a website, Prometheus Unbound, and it's run by an agnostic. And he asked me, he and I were interacting, and he said, Bob, what are your doubts? What do you doubt? So at realscienceradio.com/doubt, we have an article on what Christians doubt and what we don't doubt. and what's the difference between the two. So, all right, Thomas, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys. Keep up
thanks,
the good
Thomas.
Work.
God bless you. Thanks for tuning in to Real Science Radio. It's an
two
honor,
great
Fred.
Callers so far.
Yeah, and what an honor to have a human being take time out of his life to tune in to our program.
Yeah, these are great calls. Too bad we don't have like an hour, 2 hours, you know?
Yeah.
To do these calls.
Yeah. All right, next call in Colorado.
Oh, we're coming to the home state.
Yeah, Brian, welcome to Real Science Radio.
Hey, Bob and Fred, how are you guys?
Hey, great. How you doing? Great to have you on the air.
Good. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the show. It's a fun show. I love it.
Cool.
So what'd you think of the debate?
I thought it was okay. I heard you mention a lot, Fred, that a lot of people armchair quarterback for Ken Ham, and I guess I was kind of like that to him.
Yeah. Well, I was like that, but I was trying to stop myself because I knew that in the situation he was in, you only have so much time. There's so much to talk about. And, you know, he did do a great job on the foundation of the Bible, that particular message, and that's great because that doesn't get out there that often.
And, Fred, we do have the brightest audience in the country.
We do, actually.
Well, it's a funny thing to say. But our audience knows a lot more about creation science than the general public. And so our audience might be wondering, where's more of the science? But the general public, I think that Ken Ham reached millions of people.
Oh, absolutely.
Brian, go ahead.
My main question, I guess, would be, what was Bill Nye, why was he going on about 10 million species, 16, maybe 50 million species?
Oh, yeah.
What was his objective and all that?
Well, first of all, you know, we talked about this on the prior show. He's way off. I mean, where's he getting this number? Did he just pull that out of thin air? Did he pull it off of some, you know, National Enquirer magazine? Because the secular journals are telling us it's closer to like 1.5 million, roughly, maybe a little bit more than that, but it's nowhere near the 10 to 20 million
to 50,
that Bill, yeah, that Bill Nye was jumping all over the place on.
But what's the difference anyway? Why is he even saying millions of species? Million? What's his point?
Yeah, what is his point? And you know,
hey, that's my question.
Oh, yeah. But you know, I was amazed when it seemed like he was ignorant of a lot of the creationist arguments. It seems like he'd be prepared for a debate and at least have some education on these arguments. First of all, does Noah need to bring, you know, fish or insect, you know, things that don't have a soul? Okay, think about that. Noah did not have to bring something that didn't have a soul onto the ark.
And what the Bible says, actually, is he had to bring the things that breathe through their nostrils. That's what it says.
Okay.
Right? But I think you're making a good point, Fred. That tends to be the animals that do have a soul. Brian, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a pet or a relationship with a pet?
Yeah, cats, dogs.
Yeah, and you could have a relationship with a horse. And what's so interesting is that you can't have a relationship with a fish. You can swim in a pond with a carp or a trout all you want. You're not going to end up friends.
Well, you can with bacteria. It's symbolic. I mean, a symbiotic relationship.
Well, yeah. But you just can't, because God created body, soul, and spirit. Plants only have bodies. They don't have a soul. They don't have a spirit. Many organisms like insects and fish do not have a soul. You cannot have a relationship with a creature that doesn't have a soul, just like not with a plant. But an animal that God put a soul into, like a horse or a dog, is a man's best friend.
And those happen to be all the ones that were required to be on the ark.
The kinds of animals on the ark are the kinds that breathe through their nostrils.
Yep.
And symbolically, I think, pointing out that God is the savior of our souls. So symbolically,
good point. Through water.
Because he could have recreated the animals if he wanted to. But those animals that breathe through their nostrils, only they had to be saved on the ark. And how many of those are there? We've done a whole show on that, I think in December, Fred. It's about 1,000 different kinds of animals.
Yes, that's roughly all you would need that were, you know, our recent studies have shown. Because John Woodenramp, when he did his study, I think he was up around 13,000 kinds of animals. And even with that number, you would only need about 10%, 15% of the ark for the space for those animals. Plenty of room. And so I think Bill Nye, part of what he was trying to convey, first of all, he showed his ignorance about what needed to be on the ark. But he's saying, okay, maybe if you guys say there's 9 or 10,000 kinds of animals that come off the ark, how are you going to get all these millions and millions and millions of species in 4,000 years?
Right.
You know, that was his argument.
Right.
So the Galapagos Island.
Rapid speciation.
Yeah, we have all kinds of evidence of rapid speciation. But again, a lot of his species wouldn't have been on the ark. Noah didn't have to take a leash and walk one by one the amoebas onto the ark.
You wouldn't need 2 by 2 because they reproduce asexually.
Oh, that's right.
As Bill Nye repeatedly indicated with giggles.
Yes.
With giggles.
So, yeah. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask as a follow-up, I guess. Is he just that naive? Or
Bill,
that sounds perfectly reasonable to me that he doesn't have, you know, bacteria every species stored somewhere.
What I found interesting was, you know, a very common straw man argument you hear from atheists and non-believers is, how does Noah get millions of species onto the ark? You know, so he wasn't making that argument, which was a surprise. So he's educated at least on that, where he didn't do that straw man. It was just his thrust that, okay, once all these kinds get off the ark, how are you going to get all these millions and millions of species? He was way off on his number of species count, and he, again, included species that wouldn't have been on the ark, that you didn't need to repopulate the world with a lot of those. So
and Bill Naive, the science guy. I like that.
Bill Nye, the red herring guy.
Yes. Brian, let me ask you a question. Fred and I were somewhat critical of Ken Ham's argument about historical science. And he kept going over and over. I think it's maybe almost 15 minutes were wasted in saying historical science is not science. Like forensic science is not science. Only if you can observe it happening presently is it science. And so, Fred, you and I have argued. We have a whole article now at realscienceradio.com/forensics that is not a good creationist argument. Brian, what did you think about that?
Well, I've heard it before, that argument. It has resonated with me before, but I heard what you said kind of in response to that, how you don't need to see, you know, a builder building the house to know it had a builder. I think it does make sense to move away from that and more, talk more about the evidence, like dinosaur soft tissue would have been interesting.
Yeah, it's a very defensive argument because then, Brian, and thanks for bringing up that analogy. But if you see the builder building the house, do you have any greater scientific certainty that the house had a builder than if you didn't see who built the house?
Yeah.
Right. You wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
So, yeah, that argument is it's too defensive. I think it's inaccurate.
It is. And, you know, we pointed out that forensic evidence is powerful for creation. It's not that hard to tell that a house burned down because of arson if you find a gasoline can at the source of where the fire began, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So strong. There's things you can look at that can be powerful evidence.
Very good. So anything else, Brian? Thank you so much.
No, thank you guys. You do a great job. I love your show.
Oh, thanks.
Appreciate that very much. And I hope the kids are doing well in the background there. They sounded cute.
Yeah.
So, Fred, our store, there's something new in the science department. RealScienceRadio.com. Click on the store. The videos, we now have downloadable videos. It used to be you had to order them from us as DVDs. And some you still do, like the third party. But the DVDs that we have produced, you could get them immediately. Just download them right now and enjoy
them. That's great.
So our store is improving. And we have so many other Bob in Your Life topical DVDs. You know, we've just had our telethon. And Real Science Radio is struggling financially.
Yes.
So if you can help out there, please, with a one-time donation or a monthly automatic donation, or subscribe to our topical DVDs or Bible studies. We think you'll love them. This is Bob Enyart.
And Fred Williams.
Thanking you for tuning in to Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
About